You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis on Friday travels to Cairo to meet with Sheikh Ahmed El Tayeb, Grand Imam of Egypt's Al-Azhar University. The Pope will spend just over 24 hours in the Egyptian capital, where he'll also meet with the head of the Coptic Orthodox Church, Pope Tawadros II, and leaders of the small Catholic community there. At Al-Azhar University, Pope Francis will speak at an international peace conference, which the Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew will also attend. His visit to the prestigious Islamic institution comes just 2 months after the resumption of talks between the university and a Vatican delegation. Professor Gabriel Saeed Reynolds teaches Islamic studies and theology at the University of Notre Dame in the United States. He was a member of that Catholic delegation for the talks at Al-Azhar in February, which came after years of tension and mistrust between the two sides. I talked to Professor Reynolds to find out more about the impact of the Pope's visit in the context of this new phase of Catholic-Muslim relations. You attended the recent round of talks, didn't you, between the Vatican and Al-Azhar in Cairo. What kind of reception did you receive there at that meeting?
The Al-Azhar delegation was remarkably eager to restart the conversations with the Vatican delegation. You're right that there had been a history of complications regarding this dialogue, which dates back to the bombing on December 31st, 2010 in Alexandria. And there was also some questions about exactly the relationship between Al-Azhar and the Vatican during the period of Pope Benedict's papacy. Since the election of Pope Francis, I think there's been a rewarming of relationships between a number of different Islamic institutions and the Vatican. And this was one sign of that warming, and there was a real eagerness to welcome the Vatican delegation.
The meeting there focused, didn't it, on fundamentalism and religious violence. Beyond, obviously, agreeing that we must work together to combat it, what kind of practical progress do you think that meeting achieved?
At the heart of the meeting was an exhibition of the efforts by Al-Azhar currently to combat the propaganda of extremist groups, notably ISIS or Daesh, in the Islamic world. So this was a real opportunity for people on the Al-Azhar side to make the point that, listen, the West often makes the claim that why won't Muslims stand up to extremism and to violent groups in the heart of the Islamic world? And Al-Azhar was making the point that we're doing just that. They really emphasized the work of an institution in the heart of Al-Azhar known as Al-Azhar Observer, which is active in social media in combating the propaganda of ISIS in particular, but other extremist groups as well. And there was also a sense that there was work that could be done on both sides and work that could be done together. So there was a concern for encouraging the Vatican to continue its efforts to reach out to people in the West about welcoming Muslim migrants in Europe and elsewhere. That was one issue. But on the other side as well, there was encouragement from the Vatican that Al-Azhar would continue to speak out about the importance of the rights of Christian minorities in the Islamic world.
How much authority, in your view, does Al-Azhar have within the Muslim world to do just this? I mean, it is a revered seat of learning, but how much can it speak for the wider Muslim world?
Right, that's an excellent question, and the answer is not immediately obvious, because unlike with the Catholic Church, where we have a clear central authority and a teaching body that the faithful can all look to, in the Islamic world, there's no organized central body. So Al-Azhar relies on the politics and the power of persuasion, and in many ways, their ability to persuade is linked to their prestige within the Sunni Islamic world. Historically, it's been one of the most prestigious institutions, in part because of its age. Al-Azhar was founded, at least the university, and under a certain form already in the 10th or 11th century, depending on how you calculate things exactly. On the other hand, in recent years, there have been some parties of the Islamic world who consider Al-Azhar to be one voice among many in the Islamic world. There's some concern about the relationship between Al-Azhar and the Egyptian government. There's also a rise of more conservative Salafi Islam, which looks to other sources of authority and sees Al-Azhar as not rigorous enough in their approach to the Islamic law.
So in this context, then, what impact do you think Pope Francis's visit can have in terms of perhaps supporting the this voice that Al-Azhar has?
I think it's enormously important to have a pope who's willing to not only speak about the importance of interreligious dialogue, but in fact to go to the heart of the Islamic world, to be in Cairo meeting with Al-Azhar. My sense is that the impact will take place principally by the way in which Al-Azhar can help amplify the pope's voice and his message about interreligious dialogue, his message about authentic religion supporting the path of peace. When those messages come only from the pope speaking from Rome or elsewhere in Europe, they can reach a certain audience. But when they come from Cairo alongside Sheikh Ahmed al-Tayyib, the grand imam of Al-Azhar, then a lot more people will listen. It will help, on the one hand, encourage Muslims to seek positive relations with their Christian neighbors in wherever country they may be found, and will also encourage Muslims to continue in the path that most are already taking, which is to look to the heart of the religious sources in Islam for a voice of moderation.
How would you describe the local relations there in Cairo and in Egypt itself in terms of Muslim-Christian communities?
At the moment, things are extremely tense. In Cairo, of course, after the twin bombing on Palm Sunday, which is not an isolated incident. This is the latest in a series of attacks on Christians. And I think the Christian community in Egypt can rightly feel that they're innocent victims of all of this. There haven't been Christian attacks on Islamic institutions. They haven't provoked these attacks in any ways. Sometimes the sorts of accusations that have been made amongst the Christian community have to do with rumors that, for example, a Christian man has had relations with a Muslim woman, or rumors that a church is being rebuilt without official permission from the religious authorities in Egypt. So the sorts of things which should be taken for granted as a normal element of a religious community's rights to conduct its own affairs lead to polemics against the Christian community, and then, of course, sporadically, these terrible acts of violence. So there's great frustration and concern on the Christian side. The Christian community welcomed the election of Sisi initially. They were among his greatest supporters. There's now enormous anxiety that he hasn't been able to protect the Christian community, of course. On the other side, there's also tension in the heart of the Islamic community in Egypt because of the historical competition between more conservative brands of Islam, including Salafis, including the Muslim Brotherhood, and those who have aligned themselves more closely with the Sisi government. So there's internal tension there as well. So in some ways, the timing of the pope's visit couldn't come at a better time because of the turmoil right now. A voice of peace and moderation is sorely needed.
My thanks to Professor Gabriel Saeed Reynolds from Notre Dame University.